February 22, 2021. It's the Watt Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro Show. Happy Monday, last Monday of February. I start off with John Coltrane with Kenny Burrell. You know, he didn't usually record with a guitar man. I got to see Kenny Burrell here in my Pedro town. This is Freight Train. And then you might be able to hear my guest, people. Brother Matt, you know, we're quitting quarantino mode. So my brother Matt is at the Love Grotto a couple miles south from Pleasure Point. But I'm not totally man alone because of those software engineers in Estonia with the righteous Skype invention. How should I call you? Laurie Silva?
Laurie Silva, yeah. That's fine. You're pronouncing it right.
Hi. I see. And then also it's your kind of stage showbiz name because this other name, Laura Agnus Dei.
Yeah.
Maybe you were born with.
Yeah, that's my real name.
No, anything's your real name. Whatever you decide, right? But we don't decide on that name that comes when we're born. it's gift from parents. I remember when I was a boy, and maybe fourth, fifth grade, one of my classmates, well, his mother loved Elvis Presley, so his name was Elvis, and he hated that name, so he went to court to change it to Donald.
Okay. Bad choice, I would say.
But, I will say, lots of music friends I met in punk movement had fake names. They had their own names.
Okay.
Yeah, for example, Pat Smear, Lorna Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Don Bowles, Darby Crash. Yeah, all the germs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
A lot of those guys, especially 70s punk. Yeah. So, enough about what. we should say, actually, not only Laurie Silva was the artist, but Laurie Silva is the name of the tune.
Yeah.
So we say eponymous, huh?
No, I mean, Laurie Silva is the title track.
Yeah, but it's also your showbiz name. Well, there's this a Latin word, or is it Greek? Somewhere down there. Eponymous.
No, I mean, Laurie Silva is the name of my album, but like my artist name, let's say, is my real name. That is Laura Agnus Dei.
Oh, really? Because when I went to the page, it seemed like every tune was by Laurie Silva, but that's just the name of the fucking album. Oh, okay.
No, yeah, that's the name of the album.
I have to change all this playlist because I got Laurie Silva for all this shit.
Excuse me.
No problem. What do we call it? Aorli. Big Aorlis. All the time. but anyway, I'm glad you cleared that up because I don't want to look like too fucking stonato. Huh? Hey, I tell listeners over there, I learned this from my grandfather too, the stonato. Thinking too well, they say out of tune over there. I think this is a great metaphor.
Yeah.
Why not? Especially for us music. Talking about music, let's talk about your journey through music. What's your earliest, Laura, your earliest musical recollection?
Do you mean when I started to play?
No. Just
early
memory of music.
Early memory of music at all, like in general? That's a difficult question.
But the Watt from Pedro Show, there are no wrong answers and there are no hard questions.
Okay. I can tell you about not the earliest, but in the moment in which I realized that I was going to buy a saxophone. That's my main instrument now. And I was 18, and I was already playing the guitar, and I had this job, and I was a kind of a caregiver for an old lady during the summer, and it was a super boring job, and I had to stay at her place for the night, no, to check Carol, if everything was okay when she was sleeping. And I had this dream that the old lady was transforming into a saxophone. And later on, I know it's kind of weird, but later on with the money that I made out of that job, I bought my first saxophone, tenor saxophone.
Wow. John Coltrane played some of Mark Six, so did Brother Steve McKay and the Stooges. But actually, he started on alto. Cleanhead Vincent.
Okay.
Yeah, Cleanhead Vincent said after he played with him, you should switch to tenor. But can I go back before, like, where you grew up? Did the house have musical instruments inside?
Oh, God. No, like my parents, they weren't, they aren't musicians, but my father was a very big fan of black music in general. So, yeah, I learned from him, like, to love, like, funk and soul and R&B, this kind of music. So probably that's where my passion came from.
Now, he's a listener, so he had a good record collection.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good taste for music. And but it was my mother that she wanted me to play guitar. And so I started with guitar, but guitar is not my instrument at all. But it was my first instrument, yeah.
So she got you a guitar, was present?
Yeah, exactly. I started, like, taking lessons when I was, I think, 6 or 7. Yeah, but I wasn't practicing that much at the beginning.
Like you said, it was not your instrument. You love music, but not that instrument. In what town?
In Bologna. I'm from Bologna.
Because that's where you are now, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. So you never left.
I lived in the Netherlands for a few years.
You returned.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Can I ask you about school? Did you have music in school?
Yeah. I mean, we here in Italy, we have music at the middle school, like at the elementary school and then at the middle school. And that is actually now since like 2 months, that's my job. I'm also like a music teacher at the public school. But then when I was 20, I went to the conservatory to study classical saxophone. And then I studied electronic music in the Netherlands.
Now, I gotta tell people, Bologna is the only university in Europe, people.
Yeah, that's true.
And then some other ones too, Siena, Padua, very old schools, colleges. But getting back to like when you're a girl, when you're young, can you remember the first record you bought with your own money?
Oh, yeah. With my own, when I was the very first one should be from a record by Jovanotti, that is a pop kind of like rapper, but it's very poppy Italian rapper. That's maybe the first one. But then I was also a fan of like the Beatles, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and later on when I was 12, I was a fan of Radiohead. That's also one of the earliest.
What about the first gig you went to?
First gig, Jovanotti, for sure. Okay. Like a big concert, yeah.
Jovanotti. Yeah, kind of Johnny, right?
It's a way of, like, Jovanotti, it's like a kind of old-fashioned way also to say, like, kind of kids, teens.
Yeah.
Like little youngster, let's say, youngster, if you want to translate it, yeah.
Yeah, Johnny, like Mikey. What do you call, we say diminutive, huh? I want to play a Silver Lining.
Thank you.
Erkan Bey'in var ne var mı kazandı? Ne var mı? Ben bir aklım o Ach bitte, ersparen Sie mir Ihre Belehrungen. Das ist nicht die Hauptrolle spielen. Das weiß ich schließlich selbst. Danke, die Schlüssel. Wo ist der Schlüssel? Welchen Schlüssel? Du wirst ihn mir sofort geben. Ich. Hallo? Ist dort die Aufnahmeleitung? Hier spricht Veronika Voss. Wie? Veronika Voss? Aber das macht doch nicht.
Thank you.
for Pedro show. Off air, we're discussing some funny things about language and words. Pepperoni, huh? Jesus. Fanny, watch out for that one. Okay, let's say, I can't say Larry Silver anymore because that's just the name of the fucking record. You know, I was saying this word eponymous. It means like the name of your record is the same name as your band. Same name. Mm. That's eponymous. Yeah. So, Laura Agnes Day with Silver Lining. And yes, mm-hmm. people, it's the same metaphor. You know, something bad actually has a good thing. Okay.
Yeah.
She's telling me. And notice, you'll notice all her titles are in English. So, and you can yeah. see how she speaks very well, too, also. And then we had, who's going to be on the show Wednesday? Alessandra Novaga with Veronica Voss. Then we mm-hmm. had Richard Hell and the Voidoids doing a Bob Dylan song, Going, Going, Gone. This is from Destiny Street. Richard found the master tapes to his second album and remixed it and sent it to me. This is beautiful. Thurston Moore after that with the Realization. This album he just recorded where he lives in London now. Bombas Prendon after that, Back Road Breakdown, Honky Donkey 2 from Hans Rotten in Switzerland. Honky, you know, honky's got some heavy meaning over here. But maybe it means like a horn, just honky. And then Laura Agnes Day with the Two Bench Flip Bang, which is an interesting collection of words. So, okay, so after you didn't really play sax high school, junior high, grade school. You waited till college? With that summer yeah. when you got... Yeah, yeah. Because the old lady came to you in a dream as a saxophone.
Yeah.
Sort of morphic kind of trip. So, but, you know, you were listening for sax, right? You said your pop had a big collection of black music, so maybe you were hearing sax there?
Yeah. That's true.
So you think this, besides the old lady, this was also an influence?
yeah, that's for sure. And actually, I asked my parents to play sax when I was 12. But my mom said that, oh, but maybe you need to be like it's a masculine instrument, you know, because, I mean, she didn't mean that I couldn't do it, but she wasn't into music and she thought that it was like too big for me, you know, just like the instrument in itself. And yeah, and so I just, wait till when I was 18 to just like also because before I was also playing like electric guitar, so I was already I already had another instrument and so on.
So you had you had a musical background, an understanding of music in general.
But
you know the guitar, right? It starts becoming. I know you know like I was learning the circle of fifths, and I was mm-hmm. like, you know what? Okay, this is all on this chart and this circle and, you know, John Coltrane using it for giant steps and this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But actually, if I look at my bass guitar and the way I put my fingers, that's how I learned it because of the shapes your fingers make.
Yeah.
Isn't that trippy? Now, on the sax, it must be the same way, right? But with its own system of, because the keys, and even the clarinet's different, right? Because they got open holes that fingers go over.
Yeah, the clarinet is different because, you know, we have, like, this position and you can just, like, jump up for an octave yeah. with just one key,
right.
No? And with the clarinet is different. Like, you when you jump in octave, you don't do it that easily, like, not with just one key. So it's a little bit more complicated.
Right.
And also, I mean, I'm so much in love with the timbre, like, the sound of the saxophone.
Sure,
I think
sure.
it has, like, so much more possibility than any other wind instrument, I would say.
I saw some of the original ones in Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
The big town, Brussels, there's a great music museum that stops mm-hmm. around 1900, so no modern instruments. But they've got some of the first that Adolf Sax, a Belgian mm-hmm. guy, invented. And it was kind of a granddaughter of the clarinet. They're cousins. They're related, but
yeah.
I know what you mean. I mean, they both use the reed. But they don't let the saxophones in the symphony, and the clarinets are in there because something about the timbre or something. But anyway, tell me what was the big. What did you really get out of going to school and learning sax at the conservatory?
I would say, like, for me, it was, I studied classical music. So it's, you know, like, usually when you tell people that you are a saxophone player, they assume that you are a jazz musician, no? And, actually, I didn't study jazz. So I think, but for me, classical music was very useful to learn, like, technical skills. So, like, I learned how to be very much, like, in tune and how to have, like, I would say, like, a pure sound, no? Like, and also how to be lyrical in the sense that, like, you know, maybe with classical music you have more I don't know how to explain. It's, I think that is in my sound, even if I'm not playing classical music at all since I graduated, no? But you can feel in my sound that is a sound that it comes from the classical studies.
Yeah, because it's part of your foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah, fundamental. Okay. What about classmates, students, colleagues at school? Did you collaborate? Did you make bands? In high school, grades or meals, they would call it the garage band, the bedroom band, the basement band.
Mm-hmm. Not with people from the conservatory, but I had many bands, when I was 20 or, when I started playing saxophone, I had this band named Sax with Giallone. And that was my first band that I was like playing saxophone in. And these friends of mine, they were studying at the conservatory, but they were studying electronic music. And it was a kind of post-punk experimental rock band. Yeah. And I was the sax player in it.
You know, a funny thing about maybe it's stereotype of classical musicians, they can only play music if it's put in front of them. They can't improvise.
Yeah, that's not true for me. Like, because actually I studied classical music, but earlier on I was already like playing in bands as a guitar player, as a bass player. So, and when I started playing saxophone, I had these bands since the very beginning. So even if I wasn't so much skilled on my instrument, I was improvising since the beginning with the saxophone. And, I really like, free improvisation in general. So in that way,
you do have kind of a jazz thing, right? Because there's lots of that.
Yeah, exactly. In the sense of like free improvisation, yes. I mean, I'm not trained to improvise in a idiomatic way, you know, like in the jazz idioma of like, or I'm not trained to improvise on a chord progression, for example.
I know what you're talking about, the bebop kind of tradition of taking a standard. Like, for example, John Coltrane with My Favorite Things, right?
Exactly.
And just twist it all up and have fun with inverting the chords and all that crazy shit, right?
Exactly. I'm not trained in that, but I have experienced a lot. I would say, I have some experience in improvisation, like in general. So I love to do that with the saxophone, yeah.
But, you know, that kind of played itself out. They got tired of doing that. You know, people that are experimenting, they can't, like, stay with one thing. I kind of understand their minds, right? John Coltrane, now that I can do this, what else can I do?
Yeah.
Right? It's like peeling an onion.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you do what you do, you know? Yeah. Like not to do all over the same things,
right, discover.
Yeah. Trying out new things.
Otherwise, it's like a terrible television rerun show from the old days. Or even modern days, whatever days. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, February 22, 2021, Dishwat Pedro Show. Special guest, Laura Agnew. Stay. Hold tight for hour two. February 22, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
stop trying to make you hurt. Everything's just the worst. Trying to look you through. Celebrate your wounds. It's a great place, it on a plate. Deliciously enjoyed. Fill the void.
Oh, Thank you.
Watch from Pedro show. Start off the second hour. Laura Agnes Day doing Growing Cold. Sam Locke Ward out of Iowa City with Panache. Don the Tiger with Bengala. Well, you know, yeah, you don't say the last letters always. I like that about French, you know. Kano, very, very, yeah, sure. Okay. And Sambika Ai from Yakumo Goto Society Nishiki no Miya. And finally, our Agnes Day with Golden Kites. You know, it's funny, a word for kite, like those little kids use in Japan, is taco. Completely.
Oh, really?
Mean. It's a Mexican kind of chow that's really good. Yeah, I love it. Okay, kind of like a pita a thing, or a kebab, a shawarma. A little bit.
Yeah. Like it's a Mexican food.
Of course.
No?
We're 100 miles away, 120 miles away. I know we say it wrong, Pedro. Well, we fucked that up, the name of the beach, but all the rest we say. We don't say Jalapenos. We don't say fucking, you know, Fry Joel's. Tortillas. Yeah, but we do say Pedro. Well, I came here and they were saying that. It's not my fault. Anyway, back to you. So, what about Torin? Did you ever get into Torin?
What? Sorry, Mike. I didn't get the word.
Tour, where you get in the van and start driving around and playing.
Tour, yeah. I mean, I was touring before Corona, like for this for my last album, Lauri Silva, that was released in November 2019. And I should have been in Slovakia for the first time. I should have been in the Netherlands, in Belgium. And before, like, so 1 year before, I was in the Netherlands, in Belgium, and in Italy. Yeah, I did some concert in Italy. And also I've been for 5 years, I've been playing in a psych rock band named Julie's Haircut, and with them I was on tour quite often.
Okay, you're going to get to play those places. Everything's just postponed, not canceled. They get the vaccine coming. We're going to get it together. We just got to be patient. But you know, things could be worse. But no, I'm not saying. What is Torin like for you? When you're in Julie's Haircut, you're part of ensemble, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you tour, are you woman alone?
Yeah. Mostly, yeah. When I tour with my solo project, I'm alone, and I quite like it. I mean, especially like when I started to do it in like. 2017, 2018, it was very fun and very adventurous, you know, because, I don't know, you have to go to UK and you don't have, like, that much money, so you go by bus, you do this long bus drive, I really miss it, and because it was fun. I mean, as you know, it can be very tiring also.
No, it's worth it. I agree with you. It's very fun.
Yeah.
Even with all the... I mean, working in a salt mine is kind of tiring. There's a lot of ways to get tired, right?
I'm
curious. You know, you mentioned in school you knew some guys or people who did electronic music. Do you incorporate electronics with your live touring?
Yeah, absolutely. When I'm touring with my solo project, I do a show that is based on like electronic sounds and saxophone. So I have like a little synthesizer, and then also I play with a computer, like with Ableton Live, using it mainly as like as kind of sampler, and also using effects on the sax. So my show is the combination of like the saxophone and electronics.
And what about loops?
Loops, yeah. My music seen like so far has been like a lot loop based, I would say, and Yeah, so I play these loops like from the computer, and then I play the sax on top of it. Sometimes I loop my sax live, and so yeah, you that's know, more or less.
Really interesting, because middle 60s, John Coltrane, Sheets of mm-hmm. Sound. He didn't have the technology, you know, but can you imagine now? He would probably be piling layers and layers of his to get the weird kind of harmonics.
Yeah.
So he had
absolutely
right. He had to bring Pharoah Sanders. By the way, I just read somewhere Pharoah Sanders is recording a new album.
Oh really?
Yeah, I've seen him play like 10 times. Yeah, incredible cat. And he was kind of in a blues mode, but I hear he's getting more experimental with this new album. I want to play this Epiphyte Blues.
Thank you. came up to me, said, "Hey man, aren't you the one? All the rights that newspaper don't see how you ever get it done." Died. Oh, there were thousands that just came
writing poems like he was striking matches. The words fell on the floor just like bent ones. Evidence that the flame had once burned. Home there are lots of people that try to light spin matches. Many more want to go out. They drink themselves and sleep. Once a man is kissed by this fire, takes for his whole life. He remembers those lips of the flames. What matters most is how well you walk through this fire. You're living or you're dying. Well, you've been knocked down 5 times, but you stand up fighting. We'll be right back.
Watt for Pedro Show. Epiphyte Blues. Laura Agnes Day. And this is the, yeah, the science word for a plant that grows on another plant. Kind of parasite, huh?
Yeah.
Dickweech. That's a nice word that we use over here for a character trait. Some people are bestowed with. Network Glass have that from Baltimore. This cat named Doorman. I think he uses some kind of thing you're talking about. Like kind of a software environment. What'd you call it? Ableton?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Ableton Live. People call it Live, yeah.
But there's stuff like Reason, and there's several packages, right?
Yeah.
And they're kind of like virtual studios.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Exactly. Botanist after that. Apropos for your first tune. Stargazer. What Matters Most is How You Walk Through the Fire. That's the guy who lives here in Pedro, James Allen. And it's named after a poem from Charles Bukowski, who spent his last 14 years here. Finally, Lars August Day with Jungle Shuffle, which I thought was much different in a way. Were you working with drum machines?
That's the most like jazzy track of the album. And it's basically like, yeah, always like loop some drum machine for the kick part, but most of the part is just like a sample of like of a drum, but modified with like a software.
Sure, of course. That,
to make this complex somehow like rhythm.
No, to me it's totally valid. It's like someone taking clay to make a bowl or a cup.
Exactly.
Ceramics and stuff. But here's a trippy dichotomy because I've been having more and more guests from free music and improvised music, and so I'm thinking in my mind, wow, the big difference, Watt, is like, they don't play the same thing over and over. So I got in my mind, it's the big enemy of the improviser, repetition. But here, you blend both of them here. Right? You use the little cycles of rhythm to build the rhythm tracks, and then you improvise over the top?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I usually do. And I like from free improvisation, I like, the weird sounds. And I like to work with acoustic instruments like trumpet, as you can hear in this track. There is a trumpet player. No? So I like to take this material that is often like recorded freely.
Yeah.
And then to reassemble this material like in the studio dimension,
right.
To recreate something that has freedom because the material was gathered in a free way, but then you built out of it a more like a song form, let's say.
Yeah. Really, very happening. For me, being a bass player, very inspiring. Because we're always thinking about foundation, right? To help we look good making everyone else look good. But then there's this exploration I'm really into. We're at the end of the second hour, February 21. No, 22. 2021.
Here is the 22. Right. I don't know. California.
Yeah, it still is. It still is. It's just another error. From why? Okay. Special guest Laura Agnes Day. Hold tight for hour 3. February 22, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show. Thank you. Walk for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Midnight Bug, Laura Agnes Day, Crane, and I guess I play bass on it. I mean, this was 1987, so a little while ago. It was a Crane's backyard, and it was with Crane, and he called it Out of Bounds. And I can't remember doing it, but it kind of does sound like me, so maybe it is. And then Laura Agnes Day with Lungs Dance. How do you, you know, when John Coltrane does Alabama, I mean, very heavy by him giving that song that title. And then I read somewhere where he actually took his phrasing from Dr. King. Now, what about you with titles? Do they come first or last?
They usually come last, but they are usually very visual, you know? Like, I often, like, compose with, like, some images in my mind, or I often, like, associate, like, a sound to a specific image. And so often that's what where the title came from. So I don't know, like Jungle Shuffle, it's because like in my mind all this rhythm and all this layering of like weird sounds, they in my mind they are a forest, you know, this jungle. So yeah.
Well, I bring this up because the only place you use lyrics is in the title. Instrumental music, very evocative of the sounds, right? But then you're given the kind of another asset, a clue, a perspective to the listener by the title.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that titles are very important in instrumental music, you know, and I like to give titles. Like, I like that part. And, like, so, yeah, I would say that my titles are, they have always, like, a meaning. They are never random.
What about the saxophone as a voice? I just mentioned Dr. King and John Coltrane.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't use lyrics. You don't use... So what about working, you know, in Italy, home of opera, right? The voce.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no interest?
I mean, the saxophone is my voice. Like you know, like the timbre of the instrument, the sound of the saxophone is the more close to the human voice of all the wind instruments. Because for its flexibility, for its ability to change, for the ability of that particular instrument to that allows you to shape your sound, no?
Sure,
like,
sure.
So yeah, for me it's really the same. Like I think you can trace the fact that I'm Italian in my music from that. No,
I totally agree. I think the closest we got in the string instruments is the cello to the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And when the saxophone is that, like, and the use I do of the saxophone is often very melodic. So for me, it's it's a voice.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. I want to play this tune by you. There's an alien in my sax. And with exclamation marks. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Laura Agnes Day with There's an Alien in My Sack start off that chunk. Fine music for this edition, people. Then Emmett Kelly with I'm Behind the Eight Ball. Paul Watson with Frozen Wasteland of Egotistical Calculation. That's one word. And finally, Slipstream Infinite Tuba Colibri in Your Mouth.
Yes.
All right. So these two tunes here. First, let's talk about There's an Alien in My Sack.
That tune is a part of a research that I was dealing with during my studies at the Institute of Sonology. So, my studies were like centered on the idea of like composing with the timbre of the acoustic instruments, and so to compose pieces that were like blending like acoustic sounds with electronics and like or manipulating acoustic sounds with computers or other techniques. So it's less melodic. That's my music that you can find on my albums. And also because it was composed for like a multi-channel system, no? So for a listening situation where you are surrounded by speakers.
Right, that's just left-right stereo image.
Yeah, more than two speakers, actually, no? So like There Is an Alien in My Sax, it was composed to be played from like nine speakers, for example.
Wow.
So... Yeah. So it's like fixed media music, you know, more like that kind of research, acousmatic music and so on. But we also can listen to the stereo version. That's what we have here now on the radio.
Right, like an old mono recording of Nat King Cole. But music is music, and it's got many ways of expressing itself. It's beautiful. What about this the Slipstream Infinite? I mean, you got a lot of puns working in this title.
Yeah, because actually that is a piece that is made out of like three pieces, you know. That's why we have three titles for that piece. Yeah.
Okay.
And that piece is based on the flute sounds. And these sounds again are manipulated with the different like plugins and with the different like digital like techniques, processing techniques, and so like the first you have to think about if these are like free movement, you know.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
So the first movement is based on these more weird sounds, so like these, flutter sounds tonguing, you know, techniques. So these are fast articulation that you can get on the flute. And it's more dynamic and rhythmic. And the other two parts, like movements, they are more like based on long sounds and like it's more droney and more based on like breath or these. So that's the thinking like behind the piece.
Here's the impression I get. You're not afraid of the old mixing with the new idea of a genre having to dictate the way you express yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Like I don't know, like I really like, I don't think about like the genre of music I'm making of, you know, like I just think about sounds.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's real freedom. Genres is a road backwards. Yeah, hate that method.
No, I mean, it can be interesting if you are working, maybe if you are a musician that is really focused on like, structures. Like, so some genres, they have like a more fixed, way of like composing, and you can use that to do something new. But I really like, my approach is more based.
I have to tell you, Laura, I start thinking of a zoo and all the cages for the different animals. Ah, it makes me crazy. Where can people find you on the internet?
I have a website, lauranewsdai.com, or I have a Bandcamp where you can find all my music. And yeah, SoundCloud, and just like my last album is even on Spotify and other like streaming platforms.
Okay, but I love the idea you have your own website. That's great.
Yeah, that's the best.
Nobody in between. No filter.
Exactly.
It's a huge honor for me to have you on the show. When you come out with another release, will you come back on? We could talk.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. No thank problem. You for having me.
People, it's been February 2021. Just a Wampino show. Keep your powder dry.